He's wonderful. Amen. Amen. I almost feel like this choir is a little selfish, that they should be sharing that with more people. We may have to put y'all out there on the street somewhere so y'all can sing. Put y'all, let y'all sing in the park. Somebody else needs to hear that good news. Amen. Yeah, that's a testimony. We thank God for the choir leading us in our songs of praise, and we thank God for you being here. It just wouldn't be the same if you didn't show up. And we thank God for everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Amen. It's easy to say that after you come out of the ugly than when you in the ugly. Amen. I want to share with you today out of the book of Mark. Mark chapter 5, reading a portion of verse 24 through 29. Mark chapter 5, 24 through 29. I'm reading out of the NIV version today. God's words speak to us in this fashion. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Amen. Just want to preach today on the topic, don't give up. Don't give up. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is filled with education, with educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The slogan, "Press On," has solved and will always solve the problems of the human race. These words are credited to Calvin Coolidge, the 30th President of the United States. Therefore, it is part of our American history that has seeped into our American culture. That kind of persistence that's celebrated in our country, that kind of commitment to one's vision that won't take no for an answer, but continues to fight until it finds a way through. Recently, I was able to tour a brewery whose headquarters are in the United Kingdom, but whose brand has gone international. It was created by two young men of the Caucasian persuasion, and they were in their early 20s when they started this company. Not only did I see how they brewed the beer, but we got more attention. What got my attention the most was the story behind how these two young men actually got their start in their business. The pair were in the United Kingdom making beer out of their garage when they met a Scottish beer guru and got a chance to share their homemade brew with him. He encouraged these impressionable young men to give up anything they were doing and immediately start brewing as much beer as possible because he said they had something special. And they entered the beer business and did exactly what the man said and put all of their money into brewing beer out of their garage. They entered this beer contest and they won first, second, third, and fourth place in the competition. And they were approached by some businessmen, and they wanted to know if they had the capacity to mass produce their product. And though they were just brewing out of their garage, the two didn't want to pass up this opportunity, so they lied, and they said, yes, we can do it. They knew that they needed some financial backing if they were going to do what they said they could do. So they went to a bank and they told them what they wanted to do. They wanted to start a brewing business, and they had won first, second, third, and fourth place in this competition. The bank wasn't buying it and denied giving them any money. They cried a little bit, and then they got up and they approached another bank down the street. And though they had just been denied, they told the other bank that the previous bank actually gave them a large sum of money to start their business, but they were shopping around, and if this new bank could do better, then they would do business with them. The second banker doesn't do any due diligence. He doesn't pick up the phone to check out the men's story. He doesn't ask for financials or references. He doesn't question their capacity, for winning the competition was enough for him. So he simply said that he would work out a better deal, and the two men walked out with a loan that propelled them 12 years into the future, where now they own an international company and they're only in their 30s. All because they pressed on and lied. And when the tour guide told that story, it resonated with our American culture, and everyone cheered and laughed at these young men's ability to press on in the face of opposition and to create something, to see their dream a reality. But there was just one thing that bothered me about how they made it over. They had to lie to do it. Not only did they lie to do it, but they were telling you that they lied. And everyone cheered and celebrated. Now, it's a good company that cares for its employees, cares for the environment, cares for social causes. But in order to do a good thing, they had to lie to get it. Now, let me be transparent and let you know that I'm not really upset because they lied to secure the money. I know lying is wrong. I know we shouldn't do it. I know it goes against how I was raised. But that's not really what bothers me about this success story. What really bothers me the most is that this story could never be my story. I could never tell you that I lied to get the money to start my international business, because everyone who heard it, they wouldn't celebrate it. They would look at me as being immoral, looking at me as being a risk. No, being black in America, you can bet if I walked into any bank in my early 20s with a hope in one hand and a dream in the other, and tried to lie to secure a bag of money, before I would even get it out of my mouth, they would show me the door. And if for some reason I did actually get the money based on a lie, I sure better not brag about it and put it in my story to tell. I like Calvin Coolidge's poem that expresses the American idea of persistence and not saying no. But there's another reality that rings more true in my ears. It comes from the culture of the black church. When another poet pens some words that give us hope in face of trials and tribulations, words that can keep you going when it feels like the world is against you. The poet said, "The road is rough, and the going gets tough, and the hills are hard to climb. I started out a long time ago, but there's no doubt in my mind. I've decided to make Jesus my choice. That may be what keeps this world, that may not be what keeps the world motivated to keep moving forward, but my Christian ethic put boundaries and parameters around how I reach my goals, and not just that I reach my goals." I remember asking my father one time if it was okay to tell a lie to get what you wanted. And I remember him telling me, "Lying is not the only policy, but it is the best policy." But if we are really honest, many of us don't arrive to that conclusion, if we ever get there, on our own. Usually we try everything under the sun before we ever consider God's way, before we find that God's way really is the best way to begin with. But even if trial and error is your best learning style, don't give up and don't give in, because you might have made a mistake, or the choices and decisions of others might have put you in a bad situation. But until God says so, it's still not over. Press on anyway. What God has for you is for you. In our text, we see that Jesus was called to care for a young girl and was traveling through a crowd when he encountered a woman with a story. She suffered due to what the Bible describes as an issue of blood, where she had been bleeding for 12 years. The Bible doesn't give her name or her age, and I believe that's because the author wanted us to know that this might have been her issue. But God knows you have some issues as well. And issues don't really care who you are. And I know some of us have more issues than others. Some of our issues are more extreme than others. For some, I know it feels like when it rains, it pours. But I don't want you to fall into the trap of the devil and believe and begin to believe that you're really the only one with issues. In fact, if you knew what somebody else was going through, it just may make you thank God for your own issue, because it could be worse. Thank God for trusting me with my own problems, because I may not be able to handle somebody else's issue. This woman suffered from her bleeding disorder for 12 years. She had gone to the doctors, and all the doctors could do was treat the symptoms, but could not cure her condition. And she was hit. She has hit a limit to how far her resources can go. And now she can't go to the doctors for help anymore. But that might have been a blessing, because the biblical witness says that when she went to the doctor, she really didn't get better. In fact, she got worse. Now, can I just stop here for a moment and invite you to Bible study on Wednesday night at 6 p.m.? Because if you've been coming to Bible study, you would recognize that this story is a description of what has happened, but that doesn't mean that it is a prescription for all time. And what is so significant about being able to determine if something is a description or a prescription is that it will simply help you to see how to apply the story to your life. Because just because the doctors didn't work for her doesn't mean that they won't work for you. This is her story, but God may heal you through modern medicine and treatment, or at least give you a portion of health and strength. The moral of the story is that God has the last word, but that doesn't mean you stop doing what you can do, for right in the nick of time, God comes in right on time. You just press on, because God doesn't reward success anyhow. But what gets God's attention is faithfulness. Go to every doctor's appointment, take all of your medicine, and when it seems like things have gotten worse, you just may find out that God is good enough and he can do what we can't do. What I like about this nameless, ageless woman is that no matter what, she didn't give up and she did not give in. The road is rough. The going gets tough. The hills are hard to climb sometimes. She went as far as she could and even depleted all of her resources. She didn't have anything to leave her children now. She had to borrow and beg to make it now. The doctors didn't want to see her anymore because she could no longer pay her bills, but she didn't give up. Sometimes when we're crushed by the realities of the world, we give up before the end of our story. Or we may still be here, but we've given up. We stop caring about our physical, emotional, spiritual well-being. We just throw in the towel. We stop listening and looking for hope in our situation. We see and talk about all the negative and outlook of, and overlook all of our blessings. But I know this woman didn't give up, no matter how bad it got, because the Bible says when she heard about Jesus, That means somebody was talking about Jesus and what he had done for them. That means that she heard about Jesus and what someone else was asking of him. Can I tell you today that your testimony of what God has done just may be hope that somebody else needs. And your testimony may cause someone else to trust God with their issue. It may give them hope that if God helped you, then God can help them too. You have on this hand people running to touch Jesus because of what he has done. But on this hand, you have people that are running to touch Jesus for what he can do. This woman heard about Jesus and came running through the crowd. Sometimes the world will push us over the edge and we'll say, what do I have to lose? She was what some would say out of order. She was unclean and should have been quarantined due to her condition. But when your issues get bad enough and you say, I can't take it anymore, you too just may say, what do I have to lose? She pushed her way through the crowd and got right on Jesus. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we think that's enough. We come to church and we think that's all we need to do. We enjoy the atmosphere when Jesus shows up in worship. But this woman said, it's not enough for me to be close to him, but I have to touch him. You see, some of us stop too short. We get in position to be blessed, but we're too scared to take the plunge. We focus more on the bad that could happen if we do, instead of believing God for what would happen if we don't. But she said in her mind, it's not good enough to just get close to him. But if change is really going to come, I have to touch him. Let me put it this way. If change is going to come in my life, not only do you need to get in position, you have to be touched by God. You can't give up. You can't give in. You got to get yourself in position, and you got to be touched by God. You got to recognize in this story that Jesus was just passing through, but the woman saw Jesus, and she got into position. She didn't stay where she was. She didn't listen to naysayers. She got focused on Jesus, and when she focused on the Lord, it got her in position, but she couldn't just stop there. She had to take the plunge. She had to take the risk. She had to put herself out there, and she had to touch. She had to reach. She had to stretch. She had to be uncomfortable. She had to expose herself. She had to be vulnerable. And when she touched him, you got to recognize she didn't do all the touching, but when she touched him, something jumped off of him and got into her. The Bible says that immediately the blood stopped flowing. Immediately her healing came. Immediately something changed on the inside. But can I tell you today that though it happened immediately took a long time to get there. Immediately took 12 years for her change to come. Immediately took 12 long years in order to get her to the point that she had enough. And it was time for her to do something different. 12 long years seems like a long time for us, but it was only a moment for Jesus. She didn't give up. She didn't give in. She positioned herself and she touched the hem of his garment. Question is what are you willing to do about your issue? Where do you see God working in your life that you can meet him and connect with him in the midst of your problems? It may be some obstacles to get there, but if you just focus on Jesus, Lord can make everything all right. Press on and don't give up. Press on and don't give in. Press on and don't lose your hope. because the Lord sees and he cares. We open up the doors of the church today that you may receive this Jesus Christ in your life. For this Jesus makes all the difference in the world. He is a way maker. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But this is not just magic phraseology where you say the right thing and you get the right thing, you get what you want. This is a confession of the heart that you believe that God's way is better than your way and that you're willing to put your life in his hands. Let us stand as the choir leads us in this song. The Lord is calling to you. The question is, how will you respond? This is your invitation. The Lord is calling, he's calling. How will you respond? Lord is calling, he's calling, he's calling
to follow Jesus. I have
decided
to follow Jesus.
Have you made the decision?
No time.
Follow Jesus.